By the way, I can testify. Last week, I had something goofy with my shoulder going on. I don't know if it has anything to do with going bowling a couple weeks ago with the guys, but I bowl with this arm, and this arm was... But after the worship service last week, the pain was completely gone. Like, I noticed like the next day, it was like, hey. Because, you know, sometimes you get something like, oh, that feels like it might be there for a while. You know, you don't want to confess negative things. But after that worship service, it was like the Lord had me realize on Monday. It was like, you know what? That doesn't bother me anymore. Amen. And since then, I've felt it try to sort of start coming. It's like, no, I'm healed of that. But how many know we have a healer, right? And praise his holy name forevermore. Amen. And welcome Pastor Shelley this morning. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. That ties right into what we're going to be learning with our tithes and offering about the joy of receiving and giving. Because when you receive something, you have a choice. Do you hold on to it or not? Amen? And that's the same thing that he was saying. Sometimes we come into services and we have a powerful service and we walk out and we're like, 3 hours later, what? Why is this coming back? Because guess what? You have an adversary and he's not about to just give up easily. Amen? Why would the Lord tell you to put on the full armor? And before he tells you to put on the full armor, he says, stand. And when you're done all to stand, stand some more. Amen? Because he knows the enemy's going to come and he's going to do this. And he's going to keep pushing on you. Why? He wants to see if you're going to hold on to what you've received. Amen? And sometimes what happens is we receive a gift and we just let it go. He goes, boo. And we go, ah! And no longer is it in our hands. Do you see this? No longer is it in our hands because he scared you. Guess what? If a symptom comes up, you hold on to that thing and you tell him, get out of here. This is mine. Have you ever tried to take a toy away from a child at Christmas? It ain't happening, okay? I've tried it before, especially if it's something that they really, really, really like and that they've wanted. They are not letting go of that thing. I don't care if you have to put their pajamas on. They're not letting go of it because it's mine. I got it. It's mine. It's mine. It's mine. Sometimes we do need to be childlike. And when the Lord gives you something and you receive it, you need to hold on to it. When the devil tries to take it from you, you say, no, it's mine. It's mine. It's mine. It's mine. It's mine. It's mine. No, you're not taking it from me. Amen. Now that may seem silly, but there is a truth in that that we need to grasp today. Because the enemy is only going to be trying more and more and more to steal, kill, and destroy, especially Christians. Amen? Why? Because we are the light. We are the ambassadors. What comes out of our mouth should be declaring the goodness of God. But if you've lost it, what are you going to be declaring? Oh, I went to church and got my healing, and 2 days later it was gone. I don't know what God's doing. Trying to teach me something. No, he already taught you something. Listen up. Amen. So when the enemy tries to come in, remind him you have already received it. It is already in your hands. Amen. Okay, now tithes and offerings. Okay, so if you have your Bibles, you can open up to John 16:24. Okay, so I love these pictures. I'm sticking with the little kid theme because I think there's something God just wants us to know about receiving with joy. Amen. And kids, they're just plain honest. Amen. And if you give them a gift they don't like, we have this famous Christmas video of Luke. And I had gotten these balls that were kind of like, they're like the plasticky. They have all these little fringes hanging on them. They were so cool. You hit them and they light up. I thought it'd be the best Christmas present ever. I got these balls, Christmas balls, to put them inside. So when they would open them up, there would be their Christmas ball, right? So we have this great video of Luke, because kids are honest, right? And he opens it up and he looks at it and he goes, I don't like fuzzy balls. And I picked it up from him, and I'm like, watch. And I smacked the cement. He was sitting on our fireplace. I smacked the cement next to him, and he jumps. I was like, look. And he goes, I don't like it. But kids are honest, right? So when they like something, you know why. Look at these faces. You know why. You know that they like it because of the look on their faces. Amen? That is why we as Christians, should have happy faces all the time. Do you know why? Because you have eternal life. Happy faces. You know why? Because my God supplies all my needs. Happy faces. It doesn't matter if it looks one way or it feels one way. We have to go back to the basics. Amen? You've received the greatest gift ever, eternal life. I don't know about you, but that is a reason to rejoice. Amen? That is a reason to be joyful. Joy in receiving. You have received eternal life. And I'll bet you, if the enemy tried to come and take that away from you, it ain't happening. Right? Because you know that you know that you know that you know that you're saved. Amen? So why is it when he tries to come and steal, kill, and destroy your finances, you just step back? Why do we do that? We shouldn't. We should have the same concept of my God supplies all my needs. So I'm receiving that from him. You're not taking my finances. Amen? Amen? So be it. All right, so let's look at John 16:24. I'll start with the New King James Version. I wanted to read a couple. It says, "Until now you have asked nothing in my name." This is Jesus speaking. "Ask and you will receive." What? What? What did he just say? "You have asked nothing in my name. Ask in the name of Jesus and you will receive, that your joy may be empty." What is it? Full. Okay, when I look at a cup of water and it's full, I know it's full when it gets to the very, very top and you almost can see it come over, right? There is no room left. When you've eaten a meal and you are so full that there is no room left, right? You know that feeling of being full. This is where your joy is supposed to be. You're supposed to have joy that is full. And other scriptures say full and overflowing. Amen? And let's look at the Amplified Classic. It says this, "Up to this time, you have not asked a single thing in my name. But now ask and keep on asking and you will receive." So we ask and we keep on asking and we will receive, so that your joy, your gladness, or your delight may be full and complete. I remember when the kids were little and they would make their Christmas lists that they would want. Well, actually, even now that they're adults, they make Christmas lists of things that they would like for Christmas, right? Because if you want someone to be happy with the gift that you've given them, it should be something that they want. Correct? So why would it be different with our relationship with the Lord? Why would it be different with our relationship with the Lord? He's our Heavenly Father. If there are things that you want in your life, this right here tells me from his son's mouth that we're supposed to ask him for those things. Yes. So that our joy may be complete. Why do we give gifts to our kids? Why do we give gifts to our friends? Because we want to bring joy into their lives, right? And what do we get in return? Joy back, right? It's not we just give them the joy. We also get the joy, right? So we give our gifts to our kids because we want them to be full of joy. Nobody wants to give a gift to a child at Christmas and have them go, "Oh, man, Mom, you got the knockoff. I wanted this one," right? Or, "What I really wanted was this thing over here. Remember I told you?" And you're like, "Oh, that's right. I forgot to write that down," right? Now, my kids, I've never had that. They've always been grateful for whatever they've gotten. I've got great kids. But what I'm saying is, if I tried to guess at what they liked, you know, we went through teenage years, and picking out clothes when Mom picked them out didn't go so well for Christmas. So I got to the point, I was like, "I'll take you shopping. You pick like 10 things that you really like, and I'll pick from those 10, right? Aha. Now people are happy on Christmas morning, and it wasn't a waste of my money, right? But they had to tell me, right? I had to get the information from them. Your Heavenly Father is waiting for you to tell him what you want for Christmas. He's tired of guessing. Tell him what you want for Christmas. Well, not just for Christmas, but I'm just saying. He's saying, ask that you may receive. And when you ask him, and you're asking according to the word, and that's the important thing. is some people just ask whatever. But if you read along in the context, it says you're supposed to be asking because you're based in the Word. And if you're asking according to the Word, you know He wants to give you the things that'll bring you joy. Hallelujah. Amen. When I was asking the Lord, when we were praying for our new van, it's been years now, we have the one we have now, I was asking, and I was asking, but I was also praising Him in advance. It didn't happen right away. It was actually a couple years later, but I prayed for every Sienna that I saw on the road for those people to have their van paid in full. That's what I prayed. I wanted mine paid in full, so I prayed for them to have theirs paid in full. When we got our Sienna, it was paid in full. It was newer than I thought. It had more bells and whistles than I thought. And to this day, I walk out to that car, and I've had it for years. I still look at that car, and I go, that's my blessing. That's my, thank you, Lord, for my gift. Thank you for my gift. So sometimes you ask the Lord for something, and He says, I know you asked for this, but I'm going to give you a step up and give you this. Hallelujah. Right? Because that's the exciting thing as a parent that you get to do for your kids. Sometimes you get to knock it up a level and give them something even better. Same thing, but even better than they dreamed, right? And that's our Heavenly Father. He does exceedingly and abundantly and above all you could ask or imagine. Amen? You've got to ask and then let Him do the work, right? Let Him do the blessing part. And your face will look like one of these. Amen? Because there will be joy in receiving. There will be joy in receiving. Say, I will have joy when I receive. Now, here's the important part, okay? Until it gets here, make sure you're talking right. Okay? Make sure you're not killing the dream before it ever gets to you. Amen? So you know, the Word says that when you ask, it's yours, right? So you're praising Him until it gets to you. And then you receive with joy. But don't just let it receive with joy. Hold on to it. Amen? Hold on to it. Don't let the enemy come and try to take it away. Hold on to what He's received for you. And I'll tell you what, like I said, that joy doesn't go away. When it's something that the Lord blesses you with and you've got joy when you first get it, the joy doesn't go away. It stays. And you know what? You tell people about it. Amen? Aren't you excited about this tithes and offering series? The joy in receiving. We're going to learn about the joy of giving, but I felt like the Lord said, first, you've got to receive so then you can give. Amen? And side note, the van that we had, we were able to bless somebody else with at a fraction of the cost. Because our van was paid in full. So we were able to pass on the blessing to somebody else. Amen? And here's the awesome part. Another awesome part. Lacey was blessed with Luke's car that Luke is now driving when she was 15. She turns 24. Thank you. She turns 24 in January. It was a hand-me-down that someone had tried to turn in. They were only going to give them $500 to get their new car, right? And she's like, it's just, you know, just for Lacey to learn a little bit of driving and then you can get something new. Not only did Lacey learn to drive on it, Lindsay learned to drive on it, Lane learned to drive on it, Luke learned to drive on it. And because of Luke, it's a car that's known all over Washougal. And here's the cool part. The lady that gave it to us, her nephew is going to be driving age in May. And guess where that car is now going to? We're giving it to him. You see how God works? It just keeps going and going and going. But that's impossible. No, it's not. What's impossible with men is possible with God. And when you receive with joy, you just let that joy flow and spread and keep on going. Amen? Woo! This is a great message. Grab your tithes and offerings. Father, we are joyful this morning. We are so excited at the things that you are blessing us with. And I pray, Father, as we go out today, I pray you would remind us, just as you reminded Luke, of maybe things that we've pushed aside or forgotten about, but things that we've asked you for, And I pray, Lord, that you would bring those to our remembrance and that we would begin asking again and that we would begin praising in advance for those things that are coming. Whether it's our finances, whether it's our family, whether it's our health, God, whatever it is, whatever you've laid on our heart, God, we know the promises that you have given us in your word. And when we ask according to the promises in the Bible. We're not making something up. But God, you want to give us things that bring us joy so that our joy is full. And so I pray today people would go home and they would ask. And then that their hearts would be filled with joy and anticipation of the things that are coming. And God, we will spread the testimonies. We will share the good news of the things that you do to everyone we can find. That will spread that joy around. And I just thank you, God, you are such a good father. You have good gifts for your children. And I just pray today, Father, that our minds would be stretched and maybe challenged a little bit to believe you for the things that are yet to come. God, you want us to be so blessed so that we can be a blessing to others. We give you all the praise and all the glory today. Bless every seed that's sown. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Anyway, Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for giving us eyes to see and ears to hear what your Spirit would say to us today. And we'll give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' mighty name. Somebody say amen. We'll go ahead and click our... thank you, Lacey Joy. Lacey Joy. There you are. Amen. Praise the Lord. Might talk some about my kids' names today. Well, they're not really kids anymore now that my youngest is officially 18 years old. Right? It's like we have young adults now at our house. Praise the Lord. God is so good. But I think we're all, you know, we're all God's children. Amen. And what a magnificent Heavenly Father that we have. Hallelujah. But I want to continue this message entitled The Gift of Jesus. And that's a term that I feel like the Lord gave me in the fall when I was talking with him about how to minister during the Christmas season, and I just got the phrase, the gift. And it's interesting because Eagle Mountain's messages are right now entitled, the gift of eternal life. And Pastor John Jester on Wednesday nights has been, and they've been using that term, the gift. I think that's pretty cool, you know, that we're all kind of on the same wavelength, right? So, but this one we're specifically entitling, the gift of Jesus, amen. And how many of you have received the gift of Jesus, right? Well, Shelley was just talking about that. That's the greatest thing ever. Hallelujah. If you have Jesus, you have everything. Amen. And I just had kind of this spirit of thanksgiving just kind of wash over me again this week. I was just thinking about our family and the church and even business, but just things that the Lord has. How many know God is just simply faithful? And when you start looking at years and months and decades, and you just can't help but say, wow, right? And just, you know, in terms of, like, I had this kind of image of, you know, the type of house that, you know, we wanted to live in. And I had like a timeline in my head, right? By the time Lacey, particularly Lacey, you know, was in like sixth grade, I had this image of where I wanted to be and all this kind of stuff. And in the natural, that hasn't happened yet, right? But the Lord showed me something this week. And the Holy Ghost showed me something this week. He was like, you know what? They have always had the stability of a home. How many know that's really important? They have never lacked the stability of a home. They've had the stability of school. They've had the stability of a community. They've had the stability of church, the stability of income, you know, all these kind of things. And it's like you start seeing the big picture with the Lord. And it's like, you know what? Thank you, Lord. Because, man, I'll tell you what, there were some times in this life where that was miraculous, and it's all miraculous. But there were times, I think maybe more than one person can relate, where there was a threat to take away even what you had. Right? But it didn't happen. And we just kept going and kept going and kept going. But just that thankfulness to the Lord of the stability of a home. Right? And how important that is for a family. How many children nowadays and people just don't have stability in this constant craziness going on, right? And I just couldn't help but say, thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, because now they're getting to the point where they're going to be believing for their homes, and for their lives. And to have a place of stability to launch from is huge, right? And so we just rejoice in that. Hallelujah. And in even the church, thinking about the progress that the Lord has brought us through over the years and these types of things, it's just truly remarkable. Amen. And we just are blessed by it all. But our foundation text for this message has been Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1. But I want to read a few more than just one today. This series likely will continue the Sunday after Christmas, because our next two Sundays are going to be kind of special Christmas services. So I might have part three of the trilogy probably will be on, I think it's December 29th. Amen. So just stay tuned. Amen. But Isaiah chapter 60, I want to read the first few verses, even though our foundation one is verse 1. Arise, shine, for your light has come. Somebody say, your light has come. Whose light? Somebody say, mine. How many know Jesus belongs to you if you receive him? Amen. And the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth. Does anyone notice any darkness trying to take over the earth? And this time of the year, even in the natural, it just gets dark earlier. Amen. It's a good reminder that our light is shining. In deep darkness, the people, but the Lord, somebody say, but the Lord will arise over you. And his glory will be seen upon you. You know, I was listening to a beautiful Christmas song this past week that Burl Ives did on one of his Christmas album, and it was the song Peace on Earth, Goodwill to Men. And I hadn't really listened to the lyrics very closely, you know, peace on earth, goodwill to men. Look that up and listen to the words. It's a powerful message about darkness seeming to take, and hate is growing strong, but peace on earth, you know, and all the evil that contradicts the light and all this kind of stuff. And yet, God will prevail and truth will prevail. There's hope in it. And the hope is Jesus, right? It's just a magnificent message in that song, right? His glory will be seen upon you. The Gentiles shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. I mean, these are marvelous promises and also prophetic words that a Savior is coming. Hallelujah. How many know he's still saving? I heard a story just this past week on the Victory Network on Joni Lamb's broadcast. Joni Lamb from, what's the broad? Daystar, yeah. She has a broadcast called Table Talk where she just has some ladies and they sit and interview people. Maybe you might have seen this one from this past week. But she had an Iranian woman on her broadcast. And this woman who grew up in Iran, Iranian, and she said, you know, I'll just paraphrase, but she basically said, it just dawned on me that Islam is evil. And they treat women horribly. And then she said, I had a dream. Somebody say a dream. The light came on and she met Jesus in a dream. And she committed her life to, she said, I just simply am in love with him. Right? And she got married young and her husband was executed for some crazy thing that they blamed him for. I don't recall if that was, it might have been related to the faith. But her and her sister, I think it was her sister or a close friend of hers, began to just tell everybody about Jesus. And they, especially their families, they were just consumed with reaching their families for Jesus. And they smuggled like 20,000 Bibles into Iran. Iran! Talk about courage. Right? The light was on. And she wanted to tell everybody about this. Well, one day she got a telephone call from the police department. And the police officer said, "Can you please come down to the police department? There's some problems with the papers regarding your vehicle." No. They arrested her for her faith. And she spent 9 months, and she said, "I'd already had a dream again." Because how many know you can't lock Jesus out? Right? If someone is seeking Jesus, he's going to find a way in, and the prayers of the saints and intercessions and all these things. And she had a dream, and the Lord had already prepared her that you're going to spend some time in prison, but I'll be with you. So here she is incarcerated in this terrible, awful dungeon underground. And she said, we just turned the place into a church. And they were threatening to hang them. A lot of the women deal with sexual abuse there and physical abuse, but none of that happened. But she said the emotional abuse was in some ways worse, because literally you could die tomorrow by hanging. They told them, "We're going to hang you. It might be tomorrow." So she said, "We just began to tell everybody. How am I going to turn the light on in a dark place?" I mean, this is like Book of Acts kind of stuff happening. I think it was around 2003 or something in that range. She's sharing her testimony, right? And she said, just by the supernatural grace of God, and somebody began to take this public, what they were doing to these ladies in prison, and the Iranian leadership didn't really care for that kind of publicity. So they brought them out, and they gave them passports and said, "Don't ever tell anybody about Jesus again, or we're watching you, we'll kill you." So she said they got real quiet about it for a while, you know. But basically what they wanted them to do was to leave the country so they wouldn't have to deal with this, say, "Well, they escaped." Well, she said, "We felt like we don't want to leave the country. And Jesus told me to stay in the country." So they stayed, and I mean, it's just an amazing story of the light coming on in a woman from Iran. And she didn't run from Iran, right? But she just kept saying, "I'm just in love with him. I'm in love with Jesus. I'm in love with Jesus." What a glorious thing. The light came on, and she became a vector of this light. And they would tell her, "You're brainwashing people. Stop it. You're brainwashing people." How many know, "Wash me, Lord. Wash me. Wash me. Wash my brain. Wash my body. Wash my heart." Hallelujah. There's a continual cleansing of the blood. Hallelujah, right? Amen. But look at John chapter 1. I really felt drawn to a specific verse today to talk to you about. John chapter 1, I'm going to read verses 1 through 14. "In the beginning was the Word," and in my Bible it's capitalized, Word, which means Jesus, right? How many know Jesus is the Word in the flesh, right? "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made." So this also shows us that Jesus is eternal. Amen. Somebody say, "He was there at creation." Right? Amen. "In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it," which that word "comprehend" also means overcome. How many know the darkness cannot overcome the light? That's why this time of the year, we talked about Hanukkah last week, Festival of Light, Feast of Dedication, and even when we're turning on Christmas lights and lights on trees, all this is symbolic that the darkness cannot overcome, no matter how hopeless, That's another thing about that song, Peace on Earth and Goodwill to Men. No matter how hopeless it looks, the light is prevailing. So lighten up. Christmas is also a time to remind us, lighten up, be like a kid again. Hallelujah. Amen, right? There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which, and again, is capitalized, the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, somebody say, that's me. To them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. Hallelujah. But the verse that really drew me as I was praying over this and for today's message was specifically verse 4 that says, in him, somebody say, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And that word life, one of the words that it translates to in Greek or Hebrew, I think this one was Greek, but it means quick, quickening. Somebody say quick. How many know Jesus is coming quickly and he's bringing life with him? Life is going to overtake this planet to the point where graves are going to bust open. Right? Hallelujah. He said, I'm making a quick work of salvation. In the Bible, right? And to us, it seems like it's taking forever, forever. But how many know it's not going to take nearly that long? Right? In God time, maybe a week. About a week, if a day is as 1,000 years, right? But that word light, this is the portion that really stirred in me and drew me today. Light means to shine or make manifest, luminousness, fire. And manifest means to make clear, to show plainly, and luminous, and these are dictionary.com definitions, manifest and luminous there, but to make clear or show plainly, somebody say to make clear, to show plainly. I mean, this Iranian woman, all of a sudden it became very clear. See, so many people, the point here that the Lord is emphasizing today is so many people, we think about the Christmas story and we think about the sky opening up and the brightness, and that's true, and the star. And as we read the story, we should remember these things. But really what God is way more interested in is light coming up on the inside of you, like revelation of all of a sudden it's clear. In the summer of 1987, it became clear to me that I wasn't ready for the rapture yet. And I was sitting in a meeting in my youth pastor's backyard, sipping some lemonade. Or no, it was Kool-Aid, red Kool-Aid. Lemonade's better, but hey, drink what they're serving, right? And it dawned on me, It dawned on me. It became clear. The Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, you know what, Steve? Just because your mom loves me and is saved doesn't mean you are. Boy, I'll tell you what. I don't think I exhaled until I said, Jesus, save me too, right? I give you my life. It became very clear to me at that moment. This is the kind of light he's interested in, that Jesus will bring, that he brought to that Iranian woman, that he brought to everyone in this room, right? That it became clear, I'm a sinner. All of a sudden it became clear. You think about Saul's experience, right? Who became Paul. A bright light. And it became clear. Who are you, Lord? And all of a sudden he was in darkness for a little bit, right? But it became clear to him that this one he'd been persecuting is the light. Hallelujah. Amen. To shine, to make manifest, luminous, and manifest again means to make clear, to show plainly. How many know Jesus is not into confusion? A child can understand him. Children ran to him. How many know children nowadays look at some of these people out there walking around and think, that's creepy? Even if they're telling me stories at school, that's creepy. I remember when I was in second grade, Halloween, obviously, and the witch would come. It was just a woman dressed up, but I mean, that was creepy to me. And I refused to go. I was like, no, I'm not going to see the witch. But it's story time with the witch. Well, finally, maybe the next year, I don't know, this might have been a 3-year process, I think. So the third year, I might have been in third grade, I don't remember. And I finally said, okay, this year I'll go see the witch. I was a little older, right? And I walk in there, and it's this lady dressed like, and she's stirring a cauldron and telling stories to the children. I even remember this day how the room smelled. And I thought, I'm not afraid of you, but that's weird. How many know Jesus is not weird? And he's not confusing. He's very, very clear. Hallelujah. And the word luminous means to be enlightened and enlightening. Hallelujah. It dawned on us at one point, I need to get saved. I heard a movie star that a recording artist from back in the 80s. And just a person that I loved back then. And I'd heard he'd gotten saved, right? So finally, the other day, I thought, you know, I'm just going to do a little research and find out. Well, I'm praying for him because his remarks were basically, I'm a Christian. I've got crosses in my house, yes, but I'm also into meditation and all this Eastern stuff and religions. And I never liked the thing where I felt like God is always out to get everybody and punish people. And I just can't embrace that. And the whole just believe and have faith, I just don't get it. I just don't get it. He's confused. Confused. But yet I'm a Christian, but yet I still have that fear of God, but yet I embrace all these other religions. And he actually became a minister, and I looked up the organization that he's a minister through, and they're all about embracing all religions. Somebody say, that ain't right. No, Buddha is not getting me into heaven. Krishna is not getting me into heaven. Muhammad, not getting me into heaven. That's the one thing that the sister from Iran said, was Muhammad is all about punishment and hate, and Jesus is a prophet, but not King of Kings, Lord. How many know Jesus is very clear? This book is very clear about who he is. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. So we continue to pray for people in such situations. Right? Hallelujah. But specifically today, I really feel like the Lord wanted to emphasize, and even the word glory, that might be the word we look at in a couple weeks. But the word glory, where it says, the glory of the Lord. How many know that is the image I get is bright. How many know when the rapture happens, it's not going to be dark. It's not going to be a dark rapture where we're taken to the dark side. No, the dark side is down. That's where it's dark. In hell, it's so dark you can't see your hand in front of your face. There's smoke. There's torture. It's judgment. It's for Satan and his minions and all those who follow him. Somebody say, that's not me. I'm going to the light side. Hallelujah. Amen. But the word glory means this. Very apparent. How many know when those shepherds were out there and all of a sudden the light just lit up the whole sky and there's angels? How many know it became very apparent God is here? Hallelujah. How many know it ought to be very apparent that you're born again? Pastor Rick Renner on his broadcast this past week was talking about, no, it was actually in his devotional, Sparkling Gems, and he was talking about as a child they would get the Christmas tree and cut it off. They'd saw it down. Then you have to stick it in the little stand, and it would have to get the water in it, or else it would start drying up, right? He was talking about how, as Christians, we need to stay connected to our water source, to the Word, or we start drying up, right? And he was also talking about people who get the fake trees. It's like they look like a tree. It looks like a tree, but it's fake. And he was talking about Christians ought to be the genuine article. Not just look like a Christian, but I am the real article. Somebody say, I am the real article. And you know why you are? It's because you met the real article. And you're in love with the real article. Hallelujah. So the word glory means very apparent. It also means weight or weighty. Hallelujah. I think of that in terms of I know what I'm here to do. Not weight like depression, but weight like a settling. Like an anchor point. Hallelujah. I know I'm called to do what I'm doing right now. Hallelujah. And sometimes the devil comes against you too in the things that you're doing and questions you and acts like it's nutty and you don't know what you're doing and you're not qualified and all this crazy stuff. But how many know he is a liar? He is a liar. Hallelujah. And I really believe in terms of the glory of God, the light of God, that because that worked for your salvation, it'll work for every area in your life. How many know Jesus didn't come just once to be the light and say, bye, see ya. I'll see you in heaven. Hold on. No. He's here right now to enlighten you about your finances, to enlighten you about your family, to enlighten you about your health, to enlighten you about everything he's called you to do. Hallelujah. And as we seek him every day, as we pray in the Spirit, as we worship, as we come to church, be expecting something to dawn on you. Right? I mean, that's the God we serve. No matter what your age, no matter where you are in life, be listening and be expecting something to just boom. Be like, wow, yes, amen, I see it. Somebody say, I see it. I've been enlightened. I'm called to do this thing or gifted to do that thing. Or, you know what I'm saying? It's going to be just a settling in God and just be watching for that in every area of your life. Hallelujah. We don't have to go with the world's flow because the world is flowing downhill. Right? The world is flowing in a flow of darkness and destruction and doom and depression and despondency. A lot of D words we could throw in there, right? But you are going up. So be watching for that lightning, that enlightenment from the Holy Ghost, and be expecting it. And the only way we're going to get it is if we stay plugged into the source. Hallelujah. But I want to look at a few verses just dealing with Jesus being the gift of light. John 8, verse 12, Jesus said this. Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. See, that's a lifetime connection. That's not just a, you know, I'll see you in heaven statement. That's an all lifelong availability of the light of God. An enlightenment. A dawning. Things are going to become clearer and clearer and clearer. The peace of God is an indicator in these things. Right? Job 24, verse 13 says this. There are those who rebel against the light. They do not know his ways, nor abide in his paths. Amen. Those who rebel against the light. I mean, we're seeing that every day played out in the world. Amen? But it ought not be so in the body of Christ. Amen? We know, somebody say, I know his ways, I abide in his paths. Hallelujah. And then Psalm 18:28 says this, for you will light my lamp, the Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. I love that scripture. How many know, somebody to say this out loud, there's things I don't know. But he does. He does. I love that. For you will light my lamp, the Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. In Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2 says this, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined. Glory, glory, glory to God. How long has the darkness been trying to overtake this planet? Right? The prince of darkness. But the light overcomes. Hallelujah. And the amazing thing is we're not looking for something on the outside. That's part of the emphasis of this, is he's on the inside of you. So you don't have to go looking for it. No, the light is on the inside of you. Jesus is on the inside of you. So you commune with him there. Hallelujah. And you receive answers. Praise the name of Jesus forever. We don't have to go looking for some outward manifestation. I've heard people tell me this before. Well, if Jesus would just show up and talk to me. He already showed up and he's already talking to you. Right? I tried to explain to someone when a friend of ours, someone we love, was passing on to be with Jesus. And I was praying for them. And sometimes I see things in the spirit. And in a couple of instances, a similar thing with Peggy. When Peggy was going home to be with Jesus, where I saw a door above her head. And I saw that, and it was very brightness, right? And I just knew she's going through that door with God. Hallelujah. But there was another instance where I had another loved one, and I had a similar vision while we're praying with him. And this particular person was still with us. But I just had a kind of a settling in me that he's going home. So we can rebuke this thing all we want in the name of Jesus and speak life, but he's already decided. How many know heaven is not second prize or a failure? Right? And we're praying. And off in the corner of his room, I see a door. In my spirit, I'm seeing this. Right? And I told him. I said, brother, I know we're praying right now, and he was kind of incoherent, but he could hear us, but it was hard for him to talk. I mean, he was very weak and all this. And I said, I see a door off in the corner of your room, right above your TV. And I said, if you want to go be with Jesus, I believe that's what that door is, man. And we just began to pray and praise God, and, you know, there's a few of us in the room. But I shared this story with another loved one weeks later after. And he said, you saw something? Yeah. And I explained to him, I said, but it was in my spirit. And when I said in my spirit, the person acted like I didn't really see. Oh, well, you didn't really see it then. Oh, yeah, I did. How many know seeing something physically, there are those manifestations we've seen in the Word. I've heard people say where they physically, Jesus came in the room or an angel or, you know what I'm saying? That's real. But seeing something in the spirit is just as real, if not more real. Amen. So we're not spoiled brat Christians that insist on some angel coming. How many know bad stuff has happened in this world from someone who appeared as an angel? and told someone something, but it wasn't of God. It was a demonic spirit, right? So when we see things in the spirit realm, that's why when we say that light is on the inside of you, it's way more intimate, way more intimate than its outward manifestation. Because if he talks to me audible, which is, that would be cool, right? To hear God's voice audibly. But how many know hearing something audibly, that indicates distance. When you hear it on the inside, I mean, I've never been pregnant before, never will be. But when you feel that kick, I mean, us guys will never understand that. But what an amazing moment that must be for a mom to realize, I'm not alone in here. Right? And that's where the light exists, is in our spirit man. Way more intimate. Way closer. We don't have to even shout farther than our nose can hear. Somebody say, he's right here. He's right here. Glory to his name forevermore. Got a couple more verses and we'll pray. Micah 7, verse 8. Do not rejoice over me, my enemy. When I fall, I will arise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord will be a light to me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So even those times in life where it feels like the devil's winning, right? Where he just seems like he's got you in a headlock and that vice. I had a supernatural deliverance as a young guy years ago, and I'd been dealing with some stuff. And I had a dream. And I felt this slug-like thing on my shoulders. I felt its feet. I had a sense that it was very weak, but it was stronger than me. It was a spirit being. And I felt this terror. And this is a dream, right? And its feet were on my shoulders, and it had a hold of my head with its arms. And all of a sudden, because I had just been praying about some things and getting delivered of some stuff in my life, all of a sudden in my dream, a light came on. And this wind, it was like a vacuum wind. And I felt that thing get even a stronger hold and just holding on for dear life. And all of a sudden I felt its feet fly off and it was like flapping around on my back. And then it turned loose and it was gone and I woke up. That's powerful, man. Right? That's a deliverance. That comes from the light on the inside. Only Jesus can do that. I was helpless without him. But somebody say, I'm not without him. I'm with him. Hallelujah. So even if the devil feels like he's got a hold or a foothold or a stronghold, you just stick with Jesus and you're going to come out on top. Yeah. Hallelujah. Right? Because he is the light. Glory to his name forevermore. And then finally, Psalm 119, verses 105 and 130. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. We must remember to abide in the word, abide in the word. Don't be looking for experiences. Well, if I don't have an experience, then it must not be real. Oh, no, this is the experience. This is the daily walk. Getting the word on the inside of you. That's what the spiritual nutrition, that is the light right there on pages. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. We let him decide when he wants to give us an experience. But if all we're doing is looking for the next experience, we will never be mature Christians. A mature believer doesn't need the fluffy experiences all the time. That gets into the flesh real quick. Amen. Right? Somebody say, stay with the word. Somebody say, this is light. Yeah, yeah. Hallelujah. The entrance of your words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. And how many know no matter how much we know, he knows more? So we must never get to the place where we feel like, well, that's it. I know it all now. That's why whenever I do funerals, memorial services, weddings to some degree, but funerals especially, one of my pet peeves of going to funerals is when there's a minister up there that's talking down to the people. Right? I don't know everything, but Jesus does. Right? And he is the light. So it's really coming to that place where we understand we don't know it all. I'm up here talking, and guess what? I don't know it all, but I know who does. I know who does. Hallelujah. I don't have all the answers, but I know who is the answer. Hallelujah, right? And so we need to be people that are real, real good and disciplined. Somebody say disciplined. I heard somebody say the other day on Flashpoint, I think it was, that God, that the term Christians, people were called that by the world. You're a Christian in Antioch, right? It was like, yeah, so be it. Okay. Well, the brother on Flashpoint said what God is really looking for is not Christians. He's looking for disciples. Disciples. And disciple has the word discipline in there, right? Followers of Jesus Christ. And how do I follow him? How do I connect with him? In the word. Fellowshipping with him in the word, in prayer. Being in church certainly is a part of that. But how many know you need to know you're in the right church? There's a lot, by the way, you are. But there's a lot of believers out there going places where the word isn't being taught. Right? The word of God is not given a place of priority in the pulpit. And that's dangerous. That's dangerous. So we need to be real good at being disciplined, at hearing the word. And the more time you spend with Jesus yourself, you spend with him yourself, the more you'll be able to recognize error when you hear it. And how many know it's not my place if I visit somewhere and the minister said something off, like when Shelly and I went on our honeymoon. Boy, what a glorious time that was, right? We married and just enjoying each other, and we went to church. We found a really nice little church there, beautiful people. But the minister said something. He was just ministering and doing what they do, and great people. But he basically talked about if you're believing God for miracles and signs and wonders and all these kind of things, that it's wrong to do that. Because those are the ones that Jesus will look at and say, I never knew you. That was it. Just throw the baby out with the bathwater, right? Now, I knew that was wrong, but I heard other things that I liked, right? But I didn't go up there and say, hey, listen. No. That's why he says, not your place. Not your place. Hallelujah. You stay with Jesus. Stay with him. He's the answer. He is the light. Hallelujah, right? Amen. I mean, there's things I hear, you know, other people say that we listen to all the time. And I'll think, I don't really understand that. Or I don't know if I agree with that. But I don't get on the phone or go on social media. Hey, you idiot. No, no. Somebody say, stay with the light. Stay with Jesus. Stay in love and stay undercover. If he's called you to partner with someone, don't get into all this craziness about where they're missing it and where you agree and don't agree. No. Just submit. Stay in an attitude of submission to God's authority and you will be blessed. Because I got news for you. Heaven, there is going to be a chain of command in heaven for eternity. Hallelujah. One big family. But how many know God ain't having that rebellion thing ever again? Hallelujah. Glory to his name forevermore. Well, Pastor Steve, if Jesus or even just maybe Peter, I'd settle for Peter showing up to tell me this himself. Well, Peter might throw in some colorful language if he's... How many know, just say this, I'm not looking for an outward manifestation, right? Now, if God chooses to give me that, I receive it, but you better test it. Make sure it's accurate with the word, all these kind of things. Hallelujah. But the light is on the inside. Somebody say, the light is on. The light is on. Hallelujah. Well, let's go ahead and pray and go ahead and stand up on your feet. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Hallelujah. 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 Just lift your hands to the Lord and thank him for his word today. Father, we thank you. We praise you. We glorify you. That the light is on the inside of us today. We receive, in Jesus' name, I just want to say this. Out of Genesis 1:1, I say, let there be light. Let there be light. In any areas that God is stirring inside of us to believe him for, to hear of him, any wisdom that we need or understanding, I say quickly the light is turning on and there will be a settling and a peace and just a clarity. Jesus is making it very clear to you in those areas that you're seeking him about. There is a clarity coming, an enlightenment coming, a peace coming that you're just going to have a knowing that this is right or it isn't right. And we receive that from you, Lord. We say it again. Somebody say, let there be light. I receive the light of God in every area of my life. And the Lord would show us too. He would say, you know, that there'll be times where I will give you light. If I can trust you as an intercessor, I will give you light about things other people are dealing with. But the purpose of it is not to go tell everybody. The purpose of it is to pray for them. Somebody say, you can trust me, Lord. You can trust me. Hallelujah. And we'll give you all the praise and all the glory, Father, for all these things. In Jesus' mighty name. Somebody say amen.